Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report live and underway. Matt Dennison here. Lee Kelly is with me, as he is every Thursday, and a lot to talk about. We'll set the scene coming up for week two of college football, week four of high school football. That season continues to roll along, and a lot of things we want to get to today. Lee, I am excited about where we're at in sports, college football, exciting, good Labor Day weekend, the opportunity to see some good games from teams across the country and across the Big Ten Conference, especially. Always fun to check in on. That Penn State game was a thriller, especially if you were a Nittany Lions fan on the edge of your seat there. But glad college football's here. You and I enjoy high school football and watching that season unfold. We're getting into the heart of high school football season. We can really tell what the teams have, and we're excited about some of the matchups this week. We're really excited, I think, about some of the matchups the following week. So fun times. College hoops around the corner. We're within a month. Actually, we're climbing the days down pretty good, counting them down pretty good. We're within 20-something days of Hoosier Hysteria, the start of Romeo Langford at Indiana. I get so excited thinking about everything that's ahead for us, and it all centers around Romeo coming out on that Assembly Hall court, even if it's Hoosier Hysteria, but especially for that first game against Southern Indiana, even if it's just an exhibition game with the crowd going crazy. I think that Indiana basketball, there's been some excitement with Archie Miller since he got hired. I think people were ready for that change, even those that didn't maybe want to admit it and cared for Coach Crean for the person that he was and is. Mm-hmm. But I think that excitement's been building, and when Romeo's recruitment unfolded and it looked like Indiana was going to be in that final list, and then, oh my gosh, they made it to the final three, and then there's rumors that's where he's going to go, and he picks Indiana, and now he's at Indiana, and he's in the sand pit working out. We saw a video of him shooting some three-pointers and in a scrimmage over the summer, and it's real. It's real now, and I think people are so excited. There's so many positives. Archie Miller, Jawan Morgan returning, Romeo Langford's commitment, of course, is the headline, but so many reasons that I think make this a really special season for Indiana. They're not, you know, projected to win a national title. No one's going to have them making it to the Final Four. I haven't seen anyone yet take the wild pick and put them to win the Big Ten Conference. But people are excited about what's going on, and that sometime can mean more than anything.
It has been a while since I have heard this type of conversation this long before the season even opens about the upcoming season. I mean, you almost have to go back to the Bobby Knight days, and I'm not a big Bobby Knight fan, but but a big IU fan. But it's just exciting to have people talking about it and can't wait to go to the games or to see the games on TV, making sure they've got the right TV package on their cable TV supplier so they can watch the games. It's just an exciting time. And we just came out of a period where there wasn't a whole lot going on. Then high school season started, college season started in football. Now the pros open tonight, and it's just a good time. Baseball in their final month of the regular season, good time of year.
Absolutely. That's Lee Kelly, by the way. He's with me every Thursday on the program and other times here on the Big X. But let's set the schedule for the day, the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, Lee and I with some news and headlines to talk about here quickly in segment one, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Segment two, we'll be joined by Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Lots of IU basketball things to get with when Alex joins us. That segment each week is presented by CC Power Sports. Always fun and informative when we have Alex Bozich on the program. Then later in the program, Matt Weaver of Pigs.com. He makes his return to the Hoosier Report. We have not spoken with Matt since the end of IU football a year ago. Matt will help us take a look at some things with this Indiana team as they get ready for the first home game and their second game of the season Saturday evening, hosting Virginia. So Matt Weaver joins us. Then in the final segment, Lee Kelly and I will get you set for week four of high school football, an early preview presented by Zaxby's each Thursday here on the show. We'll take a look at the schedule. We'll take a look at the big games. We might even give you some of our picks, and we'll do that in the final segment today here on the Hoosier Report. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And Lee Kelly, you've known me for a long time, many, many years. I think going back to my elementary days, maybe. I like to work the phone. I like to be in the know, right?
You can, absolutely.
You can second that. So I'm really curious about Armand Franklin, Indianapolis Cathedral. I've said this a couple times on the program. Months ago, it looked like Xavier and new coach Travis Steele had the in. More recently, it's looked like Purdue had the best chance to land Franklin. Indiana had an official visit from Franklin 2 weekends ago. He was at Purdue this past weekend. The common thought was he would make the Purdue visit last probably sometime a few days or definitely within the week make the commitment to Purdue. Now, it's Thursday. He left the campus, I think, on Sunday sometime. So, in Purdue campus, that is. So, very likely he could still commit to Purdue this today, tonight, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe in a week. I have no idea. But the phone lines tell me that Indiana has thrown a real wrench in this thing for Franklin and that his campus visit, and Jeff Rabjohns alluded to this yesterday on the program, but that Indiana has made this decision at least a lot tougher for Franklin, even if he does ultimately go to Purdue. So Indiana, whether they get Franklin or not, I guess my point on this is I don't have specifics. I don't know what was said or how they wined and dined him to maybe make this a tougher decision and the gap between Indiana and Purdue shrink, or maybe what the players at Indiana when they played or were around each other, how they sold the program to him. You never know exactly the angle or the thing, and it might change with every kid. I mean, it may not be the same for five official visits in a row where kids go on to commit. They may each leave with a different standout that makes them say, hey, I'm going to commit to Archie Miller. I want to be an Indiana Hoosier. But it should give some confidence to Indiana fans that, okay, the guy lands Romeo Langford. And there were some other things you could argue that happened with the college basketball scandal that maybe aided in the Hoosiers' process to get Langford. But I don't think you can take away something like this, even if he ultimately doesn't go to Indiana. And there's people telling me that they think he may go to Indiana. And he may not, but there's people, they're putting it out there that they think he'll go to Indiana. I don't have enough information to make that prediction. But nonetheless, it should be of confidence to Indiana fans that Indiana coaches are recruiting. They're recruiting hard, and they've got the right pitch. That's for sure.
Well, I heard Jeff Rabjohns' interview yesterday on the show, and I heard him mention that Archie started from basically zero, that Tom Crean and his staff did not recruit this young man, hardly at all, if at all. So when Archie came on board, he had to start from ground zero and get into the mix quickly in order to even have a shot at getting this young man. Let me ask you, I've only seen this young man play one time, and it was in an All-Star game, so I really can't say I know anything about him. Is he the type of player that could come in and get big minutes immediately in what would be 2019-2020?
He's the type of player that if he doesn't go to Indiana, he goes to Purdue, you're like, darn. You know, he's an in-state guy. He's at Cathedral. They have numerous prospects, it seems, each year, and they've got some young guys that I'm sure Indiana is already beginning to recruit in a small way. So that means a lot from that perspective. But he's a guy that if you don't get him, it's not Trace Jackson Davis, it's not Keon Brooks, it's not Romeo Langford. I don't even know that it's Robert Fennessy. But what he is someone that can come in, and I think he's developing still so much at a high rate of speed that he can play multiple positions. He's a shooting guard that can handle the ball some. I even was reading something that in a smaller lineup, and we see Archie Miller go with smaller lineups to create matchup problems at times, he can play kind of a small forward type position. So he's an intriguing player from that standpoint. And Jeff, a lot of this I'm paraphrasing from Rab Johns yesterday. I don't know that he's ever a standout in the Big Ten Conference, but he's one of those guys, especially for Indiana and Purdue. He's in-state. You'll want to get him. He can help maybe with some minutes, depending on what happens with Romeo, depending on what happens with some of the freshman guards for this year that we have not yet seen in and how they're going to fit in and how much time they're going to get specifically. I do think there would be some minutes available for him. It's just so hard without even seeing this 2018 class suit up yet to talk about minutes or predictions and things like that. But I just, from what I've read on Franklin, and he joined us on the show, his high school coach has been with us, and then what I talked about yesterday with Jeff Rabjohns and some people that I talked to last night that know a heck of a lot more than I do, I'm just impressed that Indiana has been able to get so close with so many guys, even if they don't land the guy. And I know there's no prize in being second. I understand that. But there should be, to me, there's a lot of confidence right now that Indiana is going to continue to get the players they want for the most part in the state of Indiana because they've closed this gap with Franklin. They're obviously doing things the right way. So who knows what happens? Maybe as soon as we finish this segment, he commits to Purdue, which would be likely after all that we've talked about. But it is really interesting to hear what people that, again, know a lot more than me, that are a lot closer to the situation, are saying, and that is that Indiana has a real shot. They've closed the gap. And, in fact, some people are now predicting Indiana. Some maybe solely because the visit ended Sunday to Purdue, and it's Thursday, and we still don't have a commitment from him. I think a lot of people assumed, maybe Purdue people assumed, that he would decide fairly soon after the official. But, nonetheless, an interesting recruitment. I just thought that was interesting, some of the insight I heard last night. And Armon Franklin is a great kid. He showed that, and I thought in the 10 minutes or so that he was with us on the program a month or so ago. A couple other headlines today. Most of them are around recruiting. Trace Jackson Davis will take his second official visit this weekend. It'll be to Iowa. So school number two to get a visit from Jackson Davis is Iowa. He released the top six, but he said in a Q&A with Matthew Bain, who covers Iowa for the local paper there, part of the Gannett family, that he was not going to consider Purdue anymore. He's down to five schools. So that's obviously noteworthy. So Purdue will not be considered as a choice from Trace Jackson Davis. A couple of the other interesting things, and I'll retweet this story in case you haven't seen it, but it's a Q&A, and the first question out of the gate that he was asked, and this is not going to be pleasant for Indiana fans, but we've talked about this before. The first question that Trace Jackson Davis was asked, are you a lock to Indiana like some recruiting analysts suggest? If not, what makes you open to other schools? Trace replied, quote, I'm not a lock to Indiana. I think some people just assume that I am because where I am, being south of Indianapolis. Indiana has done a great job of recruiting me, but I'm nowhere near a lock to them. I wouldn't be wasting everyone's time on going all these visits if I was just going to commit there. Later in the Q&A, he was asked about his final five schools that he is considering. Indiana, his reply was, quote, I talk to their coaches a lot. They tell me where I'm going to play and their offense and stuff like that, where they see me playing. Their big pitch is me just to stay home, but I'm still looking at other options because I'm not a lock there. So, again, I call a little bit of bluff here. I think that Trace wants to be recruited, wants to enjoy this process, is definitely considering and taking a look at the other schools, but I don't know in recent times if anyone has ever been from the get-go branded as much as an IU likely recruit, an IU favorable recruit, as Trace Jackson Davis has. And I think that, you know, when you're constantly asked about that and maybe other coaches calling saying, Trace, should we recruit you? We'd like to recruit you, but we hear you're going to Indiana. You're a lock for Indiana. We don't want to waste our time. I'm sure that especially in July when all that buzz is going back and forth, that has to be a little frustrating. So two kind of not shots, not negative comments, but he went out of his way twice. And once he was asked about Indiana and if he was a lock there, but that will be interesting to see. It's hard to see a scenario where Indiana doesn't line up for Trace Jackson Davis and vice versa. But he's keeping it open. We know he's going to go through four more visits, starting with Iowa this weekend, and we'll see how things play out.
You know, I understand players wanting to go to UCLA. It's a beautiful area. I've been on their campus. Pauley Pavilion, I think it is. I saw Pauley Pavilion. So I understand that. Unless you're a fan of corn stalks, I'm not sure why you go to Iowa. Just don't understand that. So, you know, if it were me, you better believe I would visit the University of Hawaii. I would be recruited by them somewhere in Florida, places where it was warm. That's where I would go.
When some Iowa fan finds our podcast, I'm going to forward all their nasty tweets and messages to you.
Absolutely.
That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters is voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We have Alex Bozich coming up next, presented by CC Power Sports, Matt Weaver on IU Virginia football, and our Zaxby's High School football preview for Week 4 coming up on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, Thursday edition of the program, which means Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is our guest. Alex's segment each week is presented by CC Power Sports. They have two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County carries Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders welcome, and of course, racers welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex is our guest. Alex, I want you to get your crystal ball out. We were talking about Armon Franklin. We were talking about Trace Jackson Davis in the first segment, so we'll pick up right then and there with you in this segment. Armon Franklin, as the time passes from his visit at Purdue and other people thinking Indiana has a much better opportunity to land him than maybe they just did two and a half weeks ago, what is your take on where he will play college basketball?
Yeah, I don't have any inside information on this recruitment. My feeling, and this is just based on following recruiting now, covering it for the last 10 years, the further out that he gets from the Purdue visit without committing to Purdue, it seems like Indiana has chances are going up. I say that because, you know, Indiana had the first visit, and he took the Purdue visit shortly after. If he was completely sold on Purdue, I think he would have gone ahead and either committed on the visit or shortly thereafter. Now you're seeing some buzz nationally. I'm not sure if you saw the Adam Zagoria tweet this morning predicting that Indiana would be the pick. And I think one thing that maybe playing a factor here is a look at the depth chart at both schools. Like, where's there more need for a guard immediately next year? And I think Indiana might have a clearer path, at least in the immediate future for next season, for playing time for Armon Franklin. And that could be what ultimately leads him to Bloomington. But I don't have a firm prediction, but it does seem like Indiana does, as you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, have a much better chance now than it did a few weeks ago when most people thought it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to go to Purdue. Indiana must have had a really good official visit with him, and I think the opportunity for minutes may be better, at least in the near future, in Bloomington.
Alex, we're talking a lot about the class of 2019. And Indiana has a number of young men, obviously, that IU and Purdue and a lot of other people want. Let's look ahead a little bit to the class of 2020. Are there a lot of young men in Indiana that are on that watch list that a lot of teams around the country would like to have? Or does it appear at this point, and a lot of kids can change a lot of things quickly, but at this point, does it appear that 2020 might be a little bit of a down year in Indiana?
Yeah, I think it's a down year, maybe in terms of elite prospects. You know, in 2018, we obviously had Romeo Langford and some other really good players as well. You know, a couple of them on Indiana's roster, and Robert Fennessy and Demise Anderson. You had Aaron Henry, Ben Davis, Eric Hunter. So you know, some really good players in that class. 2018, 2019, you got two elite guys in Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks. Whereas in 2020. I'm not sure you have that top 50, top 25, five-star type kid. You know, I've said for a while now, since watching him last season play, particularly in the regional, I think it was when New Albany played him, I really like Anthony Leal at Bloomington South. I just, you know, he's obviously got some work to do, I think, in terms of maybe his athleticism and his ability to defend. But watching him, he looks like, to me, a Big Ten level shooter guard. Maybe not a guy who starts, but a really good four-year player in the major conference level. The other kid, you know, obviously that a lot of people have talked about is Trey Galloway from Culver Academies. He's got a Michigan State offer. I think some other schools have offered as well, some maybe mid-major type schools. Indiana's watched him a lot. You know, I think those are probably the top two in the state right now in that class. Things could change, obviously. But overall, I would say in terms of high-level, top-end talent, the 2020 class is not what 2018 or 2019 are, at least to this point.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, presented each week by CC Power Sports. I mentioned some Trace Jackson Davis stuff, Q&A with Iowa writer advance to his visit to Iowa City this weekend. One of the things I did not mention, he was asked point blank when he would make his decision. What type of timetable does he have? And he said, quote, "I'll probably commit after the basketball season." So much like we saw with Romeo, it sounds like with Trace, this recruitment could go on not just through the fall leading up to the season and the early weeks of the high school season, but maybe all the way through his senior year.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know at this point. He also said that he wasn't a done deal to Indiana, or he's not going to Indiana for sure, or whatever. You know, I think a lot of at this point is him just wanting to be recruited, and you know, everyone's talked about him going to Indiana for so long that maybe he's getting tired of everyone just having an opinion on that's where he's going. He wants to go through the process and enjoy it. He obviously just took the visit to UCLA. He's coming up, going to take his visit to Iowa. I think Michigan State's going to get a visit as well. But I don't know, on a timetable, you know, I think if he has a great time at the Indiana visit and is convinced that that's where he wants to go, I could definitely see him signing in the fall. But things change with these kids. You never know what's going to happen. As we saw last year, last fall with all the FBI stuff, it changed the timetable and decision time frame for a lot of these kids. So it'll be interesting, obviously, to follow this, Trace and Keon into the fall. I wouldn't be surprised if both of them decided in the fall, and I wouldn't be surprised if both of them waited till the spring. And I think those are two recruitments that Indiana's going to be in to the end. So regardless of the timetable, fans are just going to have to be patient with both of those guys, because I think they're a huge part of what Indiana wants to do with this 2019 class. And it could, obviously, make some people nervous if both of them do wait until the spring, because then you kind of feel like all your eggs are in one basket, so to speak. But I think both of those guys are guys you stay in till the end and you wait for them. Whenever they're ready to decide, you're there waiting for their commitment.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest. Alex, some of the preseason magazines are out. We've been tracking, of course, where Indiana's projected to finish in the Big Ten. We've asked your opinion on where you see the Hoosiers at this point in the Big Ten for the upcoming season. Now that school is back in session, you know, we don't see as many workout clips and things like that, but what exactly is the team up to in addition to just attending classes right now and being college students, maybe planning to hit the football game on Saturday?
Yeah, there's individual workouts. I think there's some time each week that they can spend going over things as a team. It's limited at this point. Obviously, everything is kind of building up to September 25th, I think it is, the Tuesday, the first day that teams can practice. And then, obviously, things open up a lot more. And, you know, it's kind of game on from that point. I think they have 6 weeks of practice before the first game after that point. But right now, you know, I think it's pretty similar to what we saw in the summer. A lot of conditioning with Cliff Marshall, weightlifting, things like that, and also some individual workouts. And guys probably just putting in extra time on their own in the gym. You know, it's I'm sure we'll see some more videos here in the coming weeks as we get ready for Hoosier Hysteria to kind of, you know, draw some excitement from the fans and kind of create a little bit of buzz. But, you know, I think it's, you know, it's kind of just those dog days of the summer now that you're in, you're waiting. I'm sure the players are ready for practice to get started and the season to be here. But, you know, they're limited right now in terms of what they can do in terms of organized structure with the team. And, you know, they're all working out, getting ready for the season to start.
Alex Bozich, InsideTheHall.com. Stop in to CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Summer is here, so visit CC Power Sports and let the fun begin. Alex, as always, thanks for the chat. We'll do it next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
We'll head to a commercial break when we come back. IU Virginia football on Saturday night at The Rock. We'll talk with Matt Weaver to preview the game and get the latest on this game week for IU football after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Matt Weaver of Pigs.com with us in this segment. Lee Kelly with me as well as we talk a little IU Virginia football and get you set for Saturday night's big one. Matt, welcome back. Been a while. Our voice of IU football. He's the best out there covering the Hoosiers, and it's great to have you back on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. It's great to be back.
Hey, let's talk about this one. It's an interesting game for Indiana. Obviously, a good win down in Miami. Virginia coming to town. I think there are definitely some question marks with this Virginia team, but they appear to be a formidable opponent coming to Bloomington on Saturday night for Indiana to take on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's tough to tell from their first game because they played an FCS team in Richmond. I mean, he's got a nice program, but obviously you're not facing the caliber athletes that Virginia's going to face the rest of the year. So kind of a tough way to judge them, but their quarterback definitely looks like a problem. Bryce Perkins, junior college transfer, is very athletic, a big guy, like 6'3", 210. He's got a good arm. He struggled with accuracy. I think he was like 13 out of 24, I believe, or something like that in that game, threw a pick six, but can really run. So, you know, it's going to be a game where I think if you can kind of try to contain him as a runner, make him have to throw the ball more, it kind of plays into your hands if you're Indiana defensively. But you do have some really good skill players at receiver and at running back, so you know, there's big plays that they can make, but you know, like I said, Perkins, his issue seems to be with throwing the ball. So if you can force him to play that way, force them because they want to run the ball a lot. I think that kind of, you know, bodes well. And defensively for Virginia, the D line's kind of a light on depth, not the most talented unit for them. Their secondary is really good. Their linebackers are pretty good. So this should be a game where Indiana, I would see them try to come out and really try to establish the run, and hopefully they're able to do that.
Matt, one of the things that I don't think Virginia will overlook this year is IU quarterback Peyton Ramsey. 1 year ago to this game is when he kind of broke out. He came in relief early in the game, I think late in the second period, and essentially was the key, a huge part of Indiana putting some space between them and the Cavaliers and go on for the road victory. Ramsey's better. He's the starter now. Virginia's familiar with him. That's who they'll prepare for, I'm sure, preparing for this week, for the most part exclusively. I would look for them to have a much better read on him. But, again, I said Ramsey's better this year. He's the starter.
Yeah, and I think if you, you know, anybody who watched the game Saturday, I've kind of said it. I mean, listen, there's a ceiling with Peyton Ramsey. He's not, he doesn't throw the ball like Michael Penix, and he doesn't run like some other guys. But you saw in that game, he can run the ball. He ran the ball well. He made some really nice throws. He obviously made the early pick, but bounced back, and I thought he played a fantastic game. I mean, overall, I thought he was really good. Both quarterbacks for Indiana were really good. If they get that kind of play all year from the quarterback, they've got a chance to have a really good offense. Yeah, they're not going to be surprised by him. I mean, I think, you know, maybe the difference for them this year is he's bigger, he's stronger, and he's faster, and he's throwing the ball better. So that might be the change. But as far as what he can do, they've already seen it in person and obviously on film as well. And then it'll be interesting to see what Michael Penix's role is, how much he plays. I would assume he'll get in the game again. I mean, you know, Indiana's not going to give that away. But he just brings an element. As soon as he came in, you saw what they did. They started stretching the field. I mean, they threw the bomb to Wop. That was a pass interference. He had Timian down the seam where he just barely overthrew him, which would have been a touchdown. It really changes the dynamic of the game. And if you prepare for Ramsey, who's more of a short, you know, get the ball out quick, short throws, and then Michael Penix comes in, you know, you kind of get the defense on their heels. So I would think you'll see both of them, you know, with obviously Ramsey probably getting the majority of the snaps as long as he's playing like he did in week one.
Matt, should we be concerned about the running back position? We're down to number 3, 4, 5, whatever, that's going to be in the game on Saturday. Do you see that as a major problem against Virginia?
Well, until I see it, I don't want to call it a problem. I do think it's a question mark. I think you're right, spot on with that. You know, I think Stevie Scott has some ability. Indiana, he didn't put up great numbers. He carried the ball, I think, 20 times for like 70 yards, which is obviously not fantastic production. But he's a big guy. I thought in his first game he was probably a little bit tentative. Maybe he didn't kind of bust it up in there as well as he could have. But that's something you kind of expect from a freshman. I think going forward he'll be better. But there's going to have to be some other guys. It'll be interesting to see if Ronnie Walker, if this is, you know, maybe his coming out party. They really like him. He's improved. It's just the things that he kind of struggles with, you know, picking up blitzes, the blocking aspect. You know, they're not quite comfortable yet playing him. It'll be interesting to see if maybe this week he gets on the field, because his running ability, I think, is ready. It's just, can he do the other things that a running back has to do to play? I think you'll see some Ricky Brookins. Maybe you see some Reese Taylor more in the backfield. You know, I mean, I don't think you're going to see Reese carry it 15, 20 times, but maybe instead of 3 carries, he gets 7, 8, 10 carries, because he's so dynamic. You saw what he did at Florida International. We know what he has done in high school. He's a phenomenal player with the ball in his hands, and I think you got to find a way to get him more in his hands. But I do agree with you. Until we going forward, we see what happens. It is a definite question mark, and it's kind of an unknown, because you got some guys there who are nice players, but they're more complimentary players. At least they have been so far in their career.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, talking IU football, is our guest. Bronco Mendenhall, I knew I recognized that name. Looking back at his history, a little odd that he would leave the BYU job for Virginia. He really had that program rolling. It's obviously been always a strong football program. I think the thing to note about Virginia is they're a team that has proven under his leadership they're going to get better. They started 2-10 back in his first year at Virginia in 2016. Last year, 6-7, made the program's first bowl game since 2011. There's no question about it. They are one of the risers in college football. With that, the offseason to get better, they've got week one under their belt. They beat Richmond, who I think beat them a year ago to open the season last year. So a little revenge win, must have the Virginia team feeling good. A lot of things point, with the quarterback and some returning offensive key players, point that this could be a good game, I think, Saturday night.
Yeah, I agree. Bronco Mendenhall, it was kind of surprising when he left. I think he's a Utah native, and as a West Coast guy, I think he played like Oregon State, I believe, in college. So, you know, that was his part of the country. But, you know, I mean, obviously Virginia is a great academic institution. It's in a great conference. And, you know, as far as football, they've had some good moments. So it was a little bit surprising, but maybe it was just a chance for him to take on a new challenge. To go to Virginia. It was kind of interesting. Last year, they after that Indiana game, they went on a roll. I think they won like 4 or 5 in a row. They went to Boise State either the week after Indiana or 2 weeks after that, and really spanked them on their own field. They were ranked like 20th in the country, kind of faltered at the end of last season and really had a poor showing in their bowl game. But he's definitely got the program headed in the right direction. With Bryce Perkins, you know, messaging with their guy that covers them for the Virginia 247 site, he's more the quarterback they want, more of a dual threat, can do a lot of the read option stuff. So they're getting closer to what they want to do offensively. I think he's always kind of been a defensive guy in his background, if I'm not mistaken. So you expect that side of the ball to be strong, and in special teams they should be solid. So it's going to be a good test, like you said, and you know, Indiana's going to have to play better than they did down at FIU, and I think they will.
What kind of crowd are you expecting for the IU game this weekend? It would be great to see that stadium near capacity, certainly for their game.
Weather, it's going to be bad here. I think it's going to be the entire Midwest. Is that right, Matt?
I actually checked the weather forecast this morning, and it looks like, yeah, that's, to me, that's going to be the issue. What's the weather going to be? You know, is that going to keep people away, keep the walk-ups away that you'll get? I'm not sure what the ticket sales are. I haven't heard the number on that. But I think that could be the biggest issue is, you know, does the weather keep people from traveling the game? Hopefully, maybe we'll catch a break, but I think we're maybe getting the remnants of the tropical storms, yeah, or the storms that are coming up from the south, from Florida and the Gulf or whatever. So it's kind of a shame that this, because this is usually when you get the best weather at Indiana football, obviously, these first few games of the season in early September, mid-September, when the weather is usually great and people are really having a good time. So maybe we'll catch a break, but it's, like you said, Matt, it's not looking great with the forecast.
You guys have more confidence in the meteorologists than I do. We were sitting here last Friday watching high school games get postponed and set back by an hour and a half unexpectedly. So I hope the weather is good, and I hope they have a great crowd.
Matt Weaver, Peaks.com. Matt, great to catch up again. You know, Lee and I are not going to let you off of here. We're big high school guys. Matt's a Columbus East guy. You may not know that,
Lee.
So 0-2 start for the Olympians. They're back, it looks like, on the right page, though, last week. And they'll be coming down to New Albany, who's had a great start to the season, next Friday, a week from this Friday. That should be maybe for the first time in a long time, New Albany's best opportunity. I'm not even going to say, Matt, to beat Columbus East. I'm going to say to compete with Columbus East. We'll see what happens. What's your take on the Olympians so far? 1-2 start.
Yeah, and it looks like, I haven't had a chance to see them play. It looks like, you know, what surprised me is, you know, it doesn't look like offensively they're clicking. You know, their first game, I think they had 20 points against Whiteland, and then the North game, which is usually can be that way, but I think they had 16 points. They bounced back against Seymour, but, you know, I kind of take that with a grain of salt. New Albany 3-0. You know, putting up 39 a game. Here I'm looking at their schedule, giving up 16. We have some people on our board from the New Albany area. They talked about, they've said that they're really playing well. So, you know, this might be the year that somebody can dethrone the Olympians of the HHC. And cause I think it's been, I don't know how many years in a row, a dozen years in a row or something that they've won the conference. So maybe this is the year that New Albany or somebody else could do it.
I'm older than dirt, so I go back to the Blair Keel days, and they were fantastic to watch. And then Kip Keel came along, and so I've seen the highs, and I've seen some years when they weren't quite as high as that. But they've always had a good, solid program and do a great job up there.
Yeah, when I was there, Coach Stafford was the coach and did a great job. And Blair Keel was actually my bitty basketball coach at the Boys YMCA in Columbus when I was a little kid. So I have a connection there. But, yeah, it's been a good program. And you know, obviously they got doing a great job now and you know, won a couple state titles with Coach Gaddis. So, but, you know, everybody has their down year, so maybe that's it. Maybe this is the one for East.
We'll see. Matt Weaver, Peaks.com. Great to have you back with us. We'll be checking in on IU football regularly with you. And as always, we appreciate it, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right. Matt Weaver, Peaks.com. Lee, I can remember when we started this program, of course, Mike Pegram, longtime friend, Peaks.com editor, starter, founder, whatever you want to call him. I said, Mike, we're going to do this radio show. We're trying to get more IU stuff on down in southern Indiana into Louisville. And I need your help. I need you. I need Jeff Rabjohns. I need your whole team to help me with this. He said, I got a football guy for you. He's never done radio, to my knowledge, but he's the best there is. And Matt Weaver is that. He has the best IU football content. He's all over the recruiting. Great source to have on your side during the football season and beyond. And you can find him at Pegs.com and at MB_Weaver on Twitter. We will head to a break. We'll come back with a little high school football chatter. We'll take a look at the Week 4 schedule. We'll tell you about some of the big games and some of our predictions as well, presented by Zaxby's, coming up in the final segment after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back for a final quick segment on high school football for Week 4. Lee Kelly is with me. This is the Zaxby's High School Football segment presented by Zaxby's with three locations in Southern Indiana. You can tackle your hunger with Zaxby's. Try one of their sandwich meals like the Grilled Chicken Sandwich Meal. All sandwich meals include crinkle fries and a 22-ounce drink. Zaxby's, proud supporter of high school football in Southern Indiana. Lee Kelly, two big games that we'll be focusing on Friday night, Bedford North Lawrence at New Albany, the Bulldogs 3-0. It's a big Hoosier Hills Conference game. North Harrison and Charlestown, same thing. Big conference game in the Mid-Southern Conference. Two teams that have had good starts to the season. Let's start with New Albany hosting Bedford this week. I'll tell you, this is a real test for New Albany. I think it's a game they should win. I think it's a game to see how they handle things, how the defense does, stopping a Bedford team that has proven they can put some points on the board as well.
I think you're exactly right, and I think last year's game, double overtime, one-point victory for Bedford, we could see another game similar to that tomorrow night. I think both teams have the offense. Both of them have a good, solid quarterback that has played multiple years in that position. Both of them have an outstanding coach that I think has done a great job in building a program. So I think it's going to be a good game. I think the weather could have a lot of, even though it's a turf field, the weather could have some bearing on this game, I think. But I'm expecting a great one. Certainly encourage all the people to come out and catch the game if you're a Bedford New Albany fan or just a football fan. I think it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, we'll give our picks on our two big games each week in this segment to close things out. I agree with you. Great game. This, to me, in the conference, will tell us a lot. It'll tell us a lot about what to expect with New Albany Jeff, New Albany Floyd Central, maybe even New Albany Columbus East the following week. This game, to me, will set the tone for the conference and help us maybe be a gauge. It's kind of the first gauge for some of the other matchups. You can say, well, here's how Jeff did against Bedford, and we're going to find out how Floyd Central does against them a little bit later in the season. But it's a gauge for the conference. It's a gauge for this early part of the season. I'm excited about it. We'll have Justin Kalen there for updates as one of our feature games. We'll also be paying a lot of attention and have a crew at North Harrison at Charlestown. Excited about that game, too. It's a big Mid-Southern Conference game. North Harrison is 3-0. Charlestown is 2-1. North Harrison has really not been challenged. Their closest score was a season-opening game at Salem, 27-17, the final. But since then, they have won 55-0 over Scottsburg and 42-7 over Cordon. I do expect Charlestown to be very competitive in this game. Wouldn't completely shock me if Charlestown won the game. This is one of those games for Jason Hawkins' team. If they can find a way to win it, this is one of those Week 4 games that can boost you on in the season and give you some momentum, because North Harrison has a good football program.
They really do, and both of these coaches, Mark Williamson at North Harrison and Jason Hawkins at Charlestown, are not just coaches that have a good year. They've built solid programs, and they're good year after year. Last year, an anomaly for Charlestown. They had an under 500 season. But they're back. They're winning. They've got a star running back. North Harrison just continues to improve. Mark Williamson, in his seventh year there, has put together a solid program. They're just good every year. And they have stepped up to the top of that conference as well, to where it used to be Brownstown and Charleston. Now you throw in Silver Creek, you throw in North Harrison. pretty tough conference.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, Zaxby's, we were there for the kickoff show. That was a fun night. We had all the coaches out and some of the top players from across the area to get the season started. We're going to be back there next Thursday night for our first rivalry show. We've done this before. The first rivalry game will be featuring Charlestown and Providence for next Friday, which means we'll have the coaches and players there on Thursday night to set the scene for the big game the next day. And then later in the month, we'll have the New Albany-Jeffersonville rivalry night as well and get to hear from those coaches and players. So some extra programming coming your way related to high school football, thanks to our friends at Zaxby's. It's time for our picks, Lee Kelly. Let's take a look at, I want to score at everything from the New Albany-Bedford game and from the North Harrison-Charlestown game, our two feature games for week four when our coverage begins Friday night on Kentuckiana Football Fridays here on the Big X.
You know, I help a lot of people when I do this because they take my picks and bet the opposite way and make a lot of money. We're going to start with New Albany-Bedford. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with New Albany in this one, and I'm going to go 42-35. New Albany a winner in regulation.
I'm going to go 42-28. New Albany by two touchdowns over Bedford. I have maybe just a little more confidence in the Bulldogs than you do, just joking. New Albany or North Harrison, Charlestown. Again, I can see that playing out a number of different ways. For me, that score and that winner is a lot harder to predict than the New Albany game. I just have a confidence that New Albany will win. I don't know that they'll win by the two touchdowns that I predicted. Your score may likely be more realistic. But your thoughts on North Harrison Charlestown?
Well, here's a problem. Jason Hawkins is a friend and has been for a long time, so it's tough. But Mark Williamson, if you go back and check his lineage, he was in the Castle program. So he comes from a good, solid background. He's done a great job. He's got his team playing well. I'm going to go with North Harrison 28-14 over Charlestown on Friday night. Jason, I apologize.
I'll take North Harrison as well. Talk with Hawk probably won't talk with us for a long time. But 35-28, North Harrison, my prediction. Harrison, North Harrison, I expect to see them to go 4-0. But I'll say this. I would be not surprised a bit if Charlestown does win that game. I do think that has a potential to be the closest final score we have on Friday night. Lee, thanks for being with me. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the program. We'll be back on Friday to wrap things up. And don't forget, Kentuckiana Football Fridays tomorrow night here on the Big X.